Welcome back to another year of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Activity is a bit slow across the bay, but that doesn't mean there's nothing to talk about. The Nooshigak sonar crew started counting on June 6th, and the east side is still waiting for activity to pick up. It's Monday, June 15th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. A quick introduction before we get started. On our news team this summer, we've got the west side covered by Kendrick Poddick and Tyler Thompson, and Sage Smiley is back covering the east side. This week, the report will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but we'll have our numbers report on the weekend, and we'll be starting full force next week. We'll also be bringing you news in the mornings and at noon every weekday. We're glad to have all of you in the Bay and with us on the airwaves this evening and throughout the summer. Coming up tonight, it's early in the season, and again, there isn't much action in the bay yet. Set netters in Ingushik had their first opening today, no harvest reports there yet, and so far, subsistence in the Nooshigak district has been slow. It's mid-June, and Westside Area Management Biologist Tim Sands is keeping an eye on the king run.
Not a lot of people are catching kings in subsistence nets, and that's very concerning. We don't think once we do apportion our counts up at the sonar camp that we'll have very many kings that have gone by.
We'll also hear from biologists on the east side about how things are shaping up in Igigik, Ugashik, and the Naknek-Quijack. Dockside examinations started today around Bristol Bay. The Coast Guard is doing things a little bit differently this season.
We may ask those crew members to not be on the boat, or in some cases, the master of the vessel can get the safety equipment and gear and documentation that we need to see.
Eric J.C. Kupchaya.
We also have a unique version of the annual Blessing of the Fleet this year, recorded yesterday on the shore of Kanaknak Beach. Those conversations and more on this season's inaugural Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
First, the numbers. There are no daily run summaries yet, but the Nooshigak sonar crew started counting on June 6th. The Nooshigak Tower counted almost 1,900 fish yesterday. The unapportioned count through June 14th is about 10,900 fish. According to biologist Tim Sands, subsistence fishing has been very slow on the Dillingham beaches. Sands said that because the sonar crew has caught very few kings, any apportionment information will likely show the run is well behind the expected number. Windy weather forecast for tomorrow may help that. The Wood River Tower begins counting Wednesday, so we don't have any escapement numbers there yet. There weren't any deliveries in the Naknek-Quijack last week, and effort there has been slow so far, though biologists expect it to pick up around June 22nd, when an opener will help determine when they start active management. Catches are still small in Igigik, but Fish and Game is setting up their in-river test fishery and tower this week. More on that a little later in the show. At Chignik, 1,300 fish escaped past the weir on June 14th. The escapement so far is at 7,300. That is just above the 2018 numbers at this date, but below last year's count. In 2017, escapement at this date was over 100,000 sockeye. Over in Area M, as of June 13th, a total of 814 Chinook were harvested at the South Peninsula, the South Unimak, and Shumigan Islands. The sockeye harvest is at 48,100. Silvers are at 220, the pink harvest is at 537,700, and chum are at 95,940. The South Alaska Peninsula Commercial Salmon Fishery opened for set, gillnet, drift gillnet, and purse seine gear at 6 a.m. today, and it closes at 10 p.m. Thursday. The Port Muller test fishery is underway, though it hit a few roadblocks heading into the season. The test fishery aims to help the industry, from fishermen to processors, assess the timing, composition, and abundance of sockeye salmon returning to fishing districts across the bay. It's a joint effort between the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute and Fish and Game. I'm sure people familiar with the test fishery remember the research vessel Pandalis, but she might not be fishing in Port Muller this season. The test fishery originally expected its arrival to Port Muller in late June. Now, according to technician Michael Link, they expect that the Pandalis will serve as a backup to two other vessels. On June 14th, the research vessel Ocean Cat caught 8 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 5 fish in the 5 1/8. Station 14 had the largest index at 23, Station 10 had the highest index so far this season at 60 on both Friday and Saturday. The crew of the Ocean Cat were able to fish stations 4 through 16 yesterday. Link said it starts at Station 16 and works south today. If there are enough fish today, the team will try to come ashore to ship the samples. Otherwise, they will stay offshore of Port Muller and continue test fishing. According to Link, the catches have been light and almost all offshore of the historically fished stations. He says weather conditions have been calm and visibility into the water is high. A second research vessel is currently running along the South Peninsula. It left Saturday night from Lower Cook Inlet after a two-day mobilization. Incoming weather may complicate its arrival and fishing at the test fishery. You can sign up to get Port Muller updates sent directly to your personal email, and this season you can also get updates via text message to your mobile, inReach, or satellite phone. You can text PMTF to 833-612-1053, and for email updates, shoot a message over to michael@bbsri.org with the subject heading, "Please add me to the PMTF email list." We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
Thanks for staying with us tonight. Again, catch this short show dedicated to the Bristol Bay Salmon Fishery every weekday night at 6 with replays at 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. We'll be bringing the numbers to you at 1:30 p.m. on the weekends. We really want to know what you think and what's happening where you're at. You can email fish@kdlg.org with suggestions, or you can give us a call at the newsline 842-2200. The commercial fishery is just getting underway, and this year's sockeye forecast is above average at almost 49 million fish. Heading into the summer, biologists on the west side are concerned about another species, kings. Tim Sands is the area management biologist for the west side of the bay, and he says it's still too early to tell how the run will turn out, but subsistence fishing hasn't picked up yet.
Not a lot of people are catching kings in subsistence nets, and that's very concerning. We don't think once we do apportion our counts up at the sonar camp that we'll have very many kings that have gone by. Now, we haven't had any real wind to move kings around, so I'm hoping that the forecast comes true and it blows really hard tomorrow, and hopefully that'll push some kings through the district.
In 2019, the Nooshigak River did not meet the lower escapement goal of 95,000 kings. It totaled out at less than half that, at around 40,000 fish. Fish and Game says it will manage the Nooshigak District more conservatively this season in order to try to reach the escapement goal for kings. In news on land, visits to the Fish and Game office in Dillingham may be longer than expected this year. Only two people at a time are allowed in the building. Sands is encouraging all people seeking assistance to check online for help before coming into the office.
Now we've gotten a pretty good response. People are getting their subsistence permits by email. You can't get them online, but you can get them by email. And email karen.vito@alaska.gov. She'll send you the form. You can fill it out. You can keep it all on your phone. You never have to print it out. So that's really helpful, I think, for people.
Subsistence fishing in the Agushik section of the Nooshigak District closed at 4 a.m. this morning. The remainder of the commercial fishing district and Dillingham beaches remain open to subsistence, and subsistence is also open during the commercial fishing openings. Commercial fishing is open to set netters in the Agushik section only 9:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 16th, that's tomorrow, and from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Wednesday, June 17th. Permit holders have to fill out district registration cards and file them with Fish and Game before they begin commercial fishing. And informational updates and announcements are also available by calling the Fish and Game recorded message line at 842-5226. Two seafood workers have tested positive for COVID-19 in the Bristol Bay Borough. Both individuals are asymptomatic. The Chamai Community Health Center announced Saturday that an individual tested positive for COVID-19 as part of a processor's protection plan. Late yesterday, it reported that another non-resident processing worker had tested positive. That second case was identified during contact tracing for the initial case. Chamai Executive Director Mary Swain said in an update that they were part of a group that tested negative for COVID-19 in Seattle. They then chartered to Naknek and have been in quarantine since arriving arriving in the borough. Both are currently in isolation. The other close contacts have tested negative and are now quarantining in a separate location. The state reported on Thursday that another person from out of state tested positive for COVID-19 in the Bristol Bay, Lake and Peninsula region. That person also works in the seafood industry. According to an update from the Chamai Clinic, that individual is a contact of an earlier case in the Lake and Peninsula borough. The Bristol Bay Lake and Peninsula region has seen a total of 9 cases of COVID-19. 6 of the positive cases in the region have been out-of-state seafood workers. Only one resident has tested positive so far. That person was tested and isolated in Anchorage. Last week, Chamai performed 777 tests. They've administered a total of just over 2,000 tests since May. People in the Bristol Bay borough who are sick or may have been exposed to coronavirus should remain at home and call the Chamai Clinic at 907-246-6155. The comings and goings of fishermen and boats in the Bristol Bay borough will be severely restricted this summer to mitigate the possible spread of COVID-19. KDLG's Sage Smiley read through some of the processor's plans to break down how the season will look for fishermen. How are things different this year at the Port of Bristol Bay?
Right now, the port is closed to the public. There's a security station at the port's road entrance, so anyone trying to access the port has to declare their business before being allowed inside. Some amenities like the office, fish grinder, and ice machine are still operating, but anyone using those services has to stay in their vehicles and will be helped one at a time by port staff. There's no pedestrian access. Commercial fishing boat launches are still allowed at the port, although launch procedures are more tightly regulated than in previous years. Fishermen are required to board their vessel before the security checkpoint and stay on their boat through the whole launch process. Boats are allowed to tie up downriver at the fishermen's dock side of the port, but they're not allowed to leave their boats to access port facilities. As for the docks in King Salmon and South Naknek, I haven't been able to figure out quite what's going on there, but we will update the website when we have any new information.
But the port isn't the only launch site or dock in the borough. There are 9 large processors that operate there, as well as a few smaller ones. What are their protocols?
Access to processor launches, docks, and facilities varies from processor to processor, but all of them are closed to the public. Processors have submitted public safety plans to Bristol Bay Borough, which are posted on the borough website, but not all of the plans lay out specific rules for docks and facilities. In general, though, the processor plans that are public fall into 3 different categories. The first is processors that allow absolutely no fishermen anywhere in their facilities except in case of emergency. Silver Bay, North Line, and Leader Creek AGS fall under this category. I said Leader Creek AGS because from their plan, it seems like Leader Creek and AGS are kind of co-quarantining this season. Trident's plan isn't super detailed, but it seems like they fall into this category as well. The second group is processors that have facilities available to the fleet with restrictions. Big Creek and Igigik has a closed galley, but other facilities seem to be mostly open to fleet. Ocean Beauty has a corner of the property that's open to fleet by appointment, but the rest of the property's closed. Finally, there are processors that are allowing fishermen into their facilities, or those that don't mention the fleet in their public plans at all. Copper River seems to be open to the fleet after a screening questionnaire. Peter Pan's plan doesn't mention fleet procedures, and North Pacific hasn't made a plant-specific fleet procedure plan public, but it sounds like they have one somewhere. Of course, this is just a general overview. If you want plant-specific information, I'd call a fleet manager. You can also read the plans yourselves at the Bristol Bay Borough website. The Naknek Marine Center also posted their COVID-19 protocol online. This includes social distancing measures, restricted access to facilities like bathrooms and offices, and a recommendation to get on the water as quickly as possible and stay there.
Great. Thank you for that update, Sage.
Thanks. Bye.
And this info will be on our website. We'll link what we have. If you have other information, reach out and let us know. KDLG.org. You can find our emails there, or you can go to news@KDLG.org or call us at 842-2200. The Dillingham Boat Harbor is not doing business as usual this summer either. Around 500 boats come in and out of the harbor throughout the fishing season for repairs or to take breaks between openers. But a new set of safety rules changes that. They're aimed at reducing contact between people in an effort to avoid an outbreak of COVID-19. Fishermen can't stay in the harbor or use the floats, docks, or bulkheads for more than a couple hours at a time. And they have to ask for permission from the harbor master to use the facilities. If someone needs to extend their stay for repair work, they have to bring their boat out of the water and move it to the boatyard or another work area. Dillingham's harbor master, Gene Barrett, worked with the city's port advisory committee to come up with the rules. He says they will help keep people safe, but he doesn't expect everyone to agree with them.
There's going to be some pushback. Some of these people say, hey, I pay my fees. Why can't I stay here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just going to, I hope that there's not a problem. I hope that we can quash any issues before they become big issues.
Local fishermen can use the Bristol Alliance dry dock for extended stays as long as they sign an agreement to follow city and state requirements. This includes anyone living in Bristol Bay who is not in quarantine.
There's some people in Dillingham, along with Peter Pan and PAF and Bristol Alliance, that have put this all together. I think it's a great deal for the local fishermen.
Barrett says that if people break the rules, the city could deny harbor and city services and could also issue fines and citations. Facilities like the bathhouse, the crane, parking, and businesses are still accessible. Sage also spoke with Igigik Ugashik Area Management Biologist Aaron Tiernan about the season so far on the east side and what he's considering as fishing picks up.
You've had your first openers in Igigik and Ugashik. How is it looking out there?
Things are still early. Catches are still fairly small. Yeah, so we're just waiting to get our in-season projects in the water, in-river test, and the tower, and start getting some in-season data.
When are those things going to be going in?
The in-river test fish are headed down tomorrow, and then we should get them online on the 17th at the latest. And then the tower heads out today, and they should be counting by the 17th as well.
So then you don't really know yet whether things are on track to start active management the 17th in Igigik and the 19th in Ugashik?
Yeah, so the schedule lasts till 9 a.m. on Wednesday, and then we'll start reviewing some in-season numbers once those come in. I've gotten tentative plans to fly the Igigik River to see if there are any fish building in river or up in the lagoon, probably tomorrow, so we'll get a look at things then and take that into account and go from there after the schedule closes on the 17th.
What are you kind of keeping an eye on this season? What kinds of things are you worried about, things that happened last year that were weird that you're going to watch out for again?
Specifically to Igigik, I don't have any one thing I'm looking for. Just definitely want to make sure that escape was reached and that we're tracking. And, you know, as long as that's happening, we'll provide as much opportunity as we can. Ugashik, you know, we're just going to have to watch things. Last year was definitely a unique year. Hopefully that doesn't happen again and the temperatures aren't scorching hot for an entire month, but time will tell, you know, once we get to that point.
Anything else you want to say about the season or it's pretty early, of course, but questions you're getting, things you want to clear up here?
No, nothing as of yet. It's still really, really in the season, so we're just going to see how things start off and how the tracking goes and go from there, really. It's going to be a unique year with the pandemic going on and, you know, navigating this whole adventure, I guess. We'll see how it goes.
It's definitely adventure. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
In the Naknek-Quijack, things are comparably slow this early in the season. Here's management biologist Travis Ellison.
Fishing is open in the Naknek-Quijack district right now. How is that going so far?
Well, it opened the first as usual, but we have not had any deliveries. We didn't have any deliveries last week, so nothing's been caught yet. I don't know if there's any effort going out today. It sounds like it might be pretty slow on the effort side, which is kind of typical for this time of year. You know, I expect to see, you know, some activity going on down in Igigik, and we'll keep an eye on what's happening there, as I'm sure many fishermen will. And then I expect to see some effort starting a week from now on the 22nd when we open. We'll be open the 22nd through 9 a.m. the 24th, and that'll really be what I'll be looking at for how we're going to proceed once once we come off that schedule and moving on past the 24th. So this week, unfortunately, it's kind of just a wait and see what happens. We'll be watching what's going on at the Port Moore Test Fishery. Hopefully by the end of the week, we'll catch enough fish to get a genetic sample, but we'll see. Right now, it's been a little slow, but again, not surprising given the time of year.
So there's not really a sense of whether or not things are super on track yet.
No, I think at this point we can rule out like a crazy early run at this, you know, we're not seeing them show up like 2013 at this moment. So that's about all we got. There's just not much information out there. I think we've got 3 data points from Port Moore Test Fish, and that's about it.
What are your biggest concerns or things that you're going to keep an eye on this season?
Hopefully everything works out and we don't run into operational issues from any side of the fishery and all the things that make this work. That's kind of my biggest concern is if, you know, one section of the industry goes down, whether it be a processor or barging company or, you know, or even our assessment programs, you know, that's the concern. Fish-wise, we're expecting good runs. We've been seeing good runs. We don't have any indications, you know, expect anything otherwise right now. So not many concerns there.
That makes sense. Anything else you'd like to add? Questions you're getting? Things you want to address here?
No, I really don't. It's been super quiet, actually. Even more quiet than normal, I guess. Not too surprising. Yeah, real quiet, real early. I'm going to start thinking about 2R until we get till, you know, Tuesday next week and see what kind of stuff's showing up inshore.
Well, thanks for giving me your thoughts this early.
No problem.
The Coast Guard is back in Bristol Bay to perform dockside examinations for the fishing fleet. They're starting today, but it's taking extra precautions due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Petty Officer Dave Schaefer says they expect to stay on schedule with examinations with those safety measures in mind.
All of the members who are traveling to Dillingham and to the King Salmon and Naknek area, we've all been going through a quarantine process. Everybody is from Alaska. We don't have anybody from out of state who's going to be traveling there. We have our own COVID transmission prevention plan. We are going through an isolation and quarantine process. We are getting tested for COVID, and then we have, of course, have to wait for a negative result.
The Coast Guard will fly with the Civil Air Patrol in Anchorage to avoid traveling on commercial airlines. Once they arrive in Bristol Bay, they plan to provide documentation of negative COVID-19 tests to abide by any additional requirements from processors. Schaefer says they will take extra steps to ensure social distancing is in place for inspections, especially with crews that have not completed quarantine.
We may ask those crew members to not be on the boat, or in some cases, the master of the vessel can get the safety equipment and gear and documentation that we need to see, and perhaps they can bring it to the, you know, off the back of the boat or bring it to us so that we don't have to go inside the cabin of the boat and, you know, potentially be at risk of being exposed to somebody.
If a member of the Coast Guard happens to test positive for COVID-19 or comes in contact with someone with the disease, the Guard's medical personnel will decide if that person will quarantine in Bristol Bay or return to Anchorage. Beyond COVID-19 measures, Coast Guard regulations have not changed for the fleet. Petty Officer Schaefer also wants crew members to know that there will be more law enforcement on the water this year.
This is a very busy fishery up here in the Bristol Bay area. Not to be alarmed, but they can fully expect to see some Coast Guard smaller patrol boats in the Bristol Bay area where they're not familiar or not used to seeing those patrol boats. And of course, you know, there's always the possibility that they could be boarded by the Coast Guard.
Crew members can visit www.fishsafe.info for additional resources on this year's examinations. The Coast Guard is conducting exams in Dillingham from today through June 25th, in the Bristol Bay Borough through June 26th, and in Agagic through June 19th. You can contact examiners in Dillingham at 907-583-4103, in Agagic at 538-8062, and in King Salmon at 717-6270 or 538-9748.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay Fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
The That's just about it for tonight's show. We have the Blessing of the Fleet coming up right after this evening. First, we're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay tonight. There is a small craft advisory in Bristol Bay, an east wind tonight at 15 knots, seas at 2 feet, and on Tuesday an east wind at 20 knots, increasing to 30 knots in the afternoon, seas at 5 feet and rain. Tuesday night, a northeast wind at 30 knots, seas at 5 feet and rain. In the marine weather forecast, from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a small craft advisory today, or tonight rather, a northeast wind at 25 knots, seas at 4 feet. Tuesday, a northeast wind at 30 knots, seas at 7 feet and rain, and Tuesday night, a north wind at 30 knots, seas at 8 feet and rain. In the tidal forecast at Nooshiegak at Clark's Point, low tide this evening at 6:23 p.m. at 2.6 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide this evening at 7:12 p.m. at 1.3 feet, and at the Igigik River entrance, high tide at 11:26 p.m. at 13.3 feet. We'll have more features and information here in this program throughout the season, and again, if you'd like to get in touch or give some perspective, give us a call at 842-2200. You can also send an email to fish@kdlg.org. If you'd like to get a message out to the fleet on the show, perhaps to say hi back home or wish them luck, send messages to the fleet to fish@kdlg.org. And we'll get those out on the end of the show every day that we have the show. Again, just a reminder, this week the Fish Report will be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so we have Wednesday and Friday for the remainder of this work week. We're going to have number reports on the weekend, and we'll be right on step next week. The Bristol Bay's Fisheries Report is made possible with generous support from our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. Playing us out this evening is the annual Blessing of the Fleet. It's a bit different than the usual blessing due to COVID-19 concerns, but Mike Davis, Dee Dee Bennis, Greg Marksmiller, Bernina Venois, and Pastor Louisa Hansen hosted the intimate blessing on the shore of Kanakanak Beach. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here on Wednesday.
This is the annual Blessing of the Fleet and memorial for those who have lost their lives at sea or in a fishing-related accident. To those loved ones who are not mentioned here, they too are recalled, and a heartfelt prayer is offered to those families. When two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. We ask your blessings on the fishers going to sea. We ask your blessings on each one's family. We ask your blessings in the wind and in the rain. We ask you, Father, bring them safely home again.
We're going to start with the reading of the names of the people. Okay. First, Freddie Acklecock. Peter Fakadok, Jr. Larry R. O. Arkanakiak. Leo Ayuluk. Fred Baum. Paul Davila. Jerome Ernest Ernie Beltran. John Blandoff. Peter Blunka. Eddie Braswell.
Jerry Braswell. Eric J.C. Kupchaya. Peter Yvonne Chukwa. Alex Chiflok. Louise Kraus Knutson Moxie Cook. Paul Cook. Chris Cooper. Ken Crumble. Nick Dancer. Victor Demoski.
Patrick Durbin Jr. Kathleen Yvonne. James Burnett. Alfred Gabriel. Emil Gardner. Jack Yukawuk Gardner Jr. Anthony Earl George. John Glocal. Michael Costa Man Loco Jr. Jay Gould.
David Grant. Paul Gregory. Edwin Groves. Ken Groves. Herbert Hamilton. Hugh J. Hansen, Jr. Marie Bessie Hansen. John Hansen. Gordon Kessler. Tom Horechka, Jr.
Tom Horechka, Sr. Roy Spark Holt. William Jackson. Gordon Jensen. Evan Johansson. Arthur H. Hardy Johnson. Charlene Suker Johnson. Edwin Eddie Johnson. Nick Johnson. Raymond George Jones.
Michael Caston. Mike Quaria. Yaku Quaria. Steve Kai. Fred Knutson. Murphy Knutson. Simeon Kaiwak, Jr. Patrick Nushigak Pat Kanasnikov, Sr. Joel Lincher?
Lichter.
Lichter. Charles Miller.
Alan Molokai. Bruce Molokai. Gus Molokai. Herman Molokai. John Molokai. August Nelson. Felicia Nikolai. Gordon Arnold Noden. Thomas Noden. Adrian Olson.
Ernest Olson. Gordon Olson. Monty Olson. Thomas Olson. Adolf Osterhaus. Gary R. Paul Sr. Ron Ramsey. Don Segmel. Jack Saville. William Saville. Alec Saville.
Norman Skeels. Butch Sampson. Herman Shade Sr. Lee Ray Skills. Ralph Sorensen. Ralph T. Sorensen. Lowell Stafford. Bobby Suscut. Corey Stitchman. James Toots.
John Tugatuck Sr., Lawrence Telepolic, Richard S. Tumba, Sakali Wanhola, Joseph Link Walker, Stephen Walker, Maureen Wentz, Robert Willett, Ivor Wilson, Brenda Wyagan,
Kevin Yakoono, Timothy Toro, John Phillips, Alicia Perichka.
Now we'd like to offer everybody to take a moment of silence to remember those that have passed before us and to have a blessing for this upcoming season. There's a name that you didn't hear read, please contact Bernina at 843-1275 to have that name added. This concludes the blessing of the fleet. We hope everybody has a safe and good season out there.
Again, if there's a name you didn't hear, that number is 907-843-1275, or you can email dlgblessingoffleet@gmail.com.